Exodus 16, we're going to read beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of God. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they will bring, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we, that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight, you shall eat meat, and in the morning, you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each of you, as much as you can eat. You shall eat, each take an omer according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when all of the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning.' So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. And there were no worms in it. Moses said, 'Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none.' On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that you may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, the people of Israel had been marvelously delivered by God's hand through the Red Sea. And after they were delivered through the Red Sea, he led them to a place where they sang a song. The previous chapter, chapter 15, tells us they were singing by the seashore. Now, a few days go by, and we see them not singing anymore, but whining in the wilderness, complaining, grumbling against Moses and Aaron, and ultimately grumbling against God. Notice that they say in verse 3, it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt than to live with the hardships here in the wilderness. And they complained about Moses and Aaron. Why did you bring us here? To kill this whole assembly with hunger? And although this assault is directed at Moses and Aaron, in the final analysis, the Hebrews were really grumbling against God. They doubt God's care for them. They cast aspersions on his power. You know, who can feed us here in the wilderness? The sovereign God who opened the Red Sea, the sovereign God who delivered them with powerful miracles and the demonstration of his power against Egypt, killing the sons of Egypt, the sovereign God who led them through the Red Sea on dry ground, can he not be the one who delivers them in this wilderness and brings them to a place where they would be able to eat? But no, they grumble against God. It's an open act of rebellion. And notice it is because they wanted the food that they craved. That's what it says in Psalm 78. It speaks there of the food they craved in verse 18 and in verse 30 of Psalm 78. Notice it was their greed. Greed for the kind of food that they wanted. Not what God supplied them in the wilderness. They hated what God did for them. They despised what God did for them, and now they wanted what they wanted. Not what they needed, but they wanted the food that they thought they would have had they stayed in Egypt. What do we see here? We see them filled with greed. And that greed is so that their supposed needs might be met. What are their needs? They needed to eat, and God met that need, but they didn't see that their needs were met according to the way they wanted to be fed, what they wanted. You know, we ought to ask ourselves, what is it that we need? What is it that we must have? What must we receive? What is necessary for us? Israel did not do that. They simply complained. They wanted the meat and the bread from Egypt. Notice that they even say that. Food was better there than we have it now. Now, they probably had plenty of things that they could have eaten. They probably could have killed a cow or two. They probably could have made hamburgers. I don't know. They probably could have maybe found some other way of eating things, but they just simply looked back to Egypt and said, we had it better then. Really? Your memory is that bad? You don't really remember how Pharaoh treated you? You don't really remember how he was exercising his power to make them groan under the slavery of building and doing all of the things that they were compelled to do? But they wanted to go back to Egypt, and they murmur against God. Here they even say, in verse 2, the whole congregation of the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people said, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." They murmur against God. They complain against God. It's mutiny against God. They're really repudiating their relationship with the Lord, and they wished they were dead. The way they figured it was better to die back in Egypt than it was to live in the wilderness. And they complained and they murmured and they grumbled, and they were saying really that they wished they had never been saved in the first place. Now, all of this takes place, and you would think maybe God's going to punish them. Wouldn't that be the first thing you would think that would happen? And then verse 4 comes along in our passage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "What? I'm going to destroy them? No. I'm going to judge them? No." The Lord said to Moses, "I am about to rain bread from heaven for you." God is going to rain bread from heaven, and quail as well. We see that later on in the passage. He provides quail for them, the birds that came in the evening, just at the time that God had promised. And they came in astonishing numbers, enough to feed the entire multitude of millions. According to the psalmist, it says, "He rained meat down from them like dust, flying birds like sand on the seashore." The quail came at the right time. The quail came at the right place. God did not give his people quail every day. This miracle was not repeated again, but he gave them quail and they were able to eat. And he said he would rain down bread from heaven. And the bread is what we're more familiar with, because we know that they ate this manna and they ate it for 40 years. And we read about it not only here in this passage, but we read about it later in the scripture as well, as it's reflected upon in the Psalms and in other places. God sovereignly granted them manna from heaven. And it was not a product of the earth. It was not manufactured by humanity. It was not something that Israel had brought along with them from Egypt. You know, they had a few cows and they had their sheep and cattle, but they didn't have manna. Manna was a gift of God given to them, a gift from heaven. And the manna came from heaven. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." The manna was not a product of the earth. It didn't grow in the wilderness. It wasn't produced by human effort, by human skill. It descended from God. It was his sovereign gift. And this sovereign gift is a miracle. Now, many have, through the years, argued that this is something else, and you can read some commentaries, and they have some ridiculous things to suggest, because unbelief will look at a miracle and deny it. Unbelief does not accept what Scripture teaches, but the Bible teaches that the bread from heaven was given by God for the people of Israel. The psalmist speaks of it as well. He says it was the bread from heaven and the bread of angels in Psalm 78. The apostle Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 10 as spiritual food, supernatural food that was sovereignly given by God. One author says manna was the original Wonder Bread. Remember Wonder Bread? You know the commercial? This is the real Wonder Bread. This is the manna that came from God. And the people are to gather it. It's striking that this supernatural event takes place. And then it says, this is what the Lord says: "Go out and gather it up. An omer for every person, according to the number of your persons, take for you every one of them, and take it into your tents." Now, a conservative estimate, one author says, of the number of Israelites that came out of Egypt was about 2 million, for they had 600,000 men able to go forth into war. So if you kind of tabulate it. 2 million doesn't seem like too large a number to think of for this whole assembly, and they are to gather manna in the wilderness. Now, where are you going? You know, we're going to feed ourselves from time to time. We're going to have a luncheon from time to time. We have to provide for everybody. And we go 1, 2, 3, 4, and we count up. We have several people. Sometimes we might even invite people over. We'll have a lot of people over. And when you do that, what do? You kind of calculate, I need so much. I better get another loaf of bread. I better get another turkey. I better, whatever it is, I better have enough or somebody's going to be hungry. How do you feed 2 million people? 2 million people who are wandering in the wilderness, living in tents, but there were 2 million people. Now, each one of them was to gather an omer, that's the amount, and every one of them is to gather that amount. This author says that would be about 12 million pints, 9 million pounds gathered daily, 4,500 tons, hence 10 trains, each having 30 cars, each car having in it 15 tons, would be needed for a single day supply. That kind of makes you think a little bit, doesn't it? Over 1 million tons of manna were gathered annually by Israel. And for how long? 40 years. Now, every now and then when I go to McDonald's, and I go there very often, there's a little big old truck that's parked on the side, and you have to kind of go around them and park your car on the other side. And that big old truck is there to do what? It's to unload food constantly. They have to unload food. Now, they have a big old truck, and they get enough off of the truck to take care of that McDonald's. But how is that McDonald's going to feed all the people it needs to feed if it doesn't get the food that's delivered? How are the people of Israel going to get the food if it's not delivered, if it's not there? God provided it. God sovereignly provided it. And notice, the manna came to right where the people were. They didn't have to go to McDonald's. You know, when I am driving down the road, like heading down to Florida, that's one of the things you think of. Okay, where are we going to eat? And as you're going along, you know, you're trying not to hit anybody, go off the road, and you see all the billboards. And usually you can always see the billboard that has the big McDonald's sign. Now, I try to avoid that because there are certain people who aren't really McDonald's fans. So every now and then I'll see there's a sign that says Cracker Barrel. You want to stop at Cracker Barrel? Well, that's better than McDonald's. Okay, so we're gonna stop there. But it's 15 miles, or maybe it's 30 miles. It's a long way off. It's not right there. Israel didn't have to go anywhere for their food. It came right where the people were. And when they woke up in the morning, as the dew was on the ground, they saw a small round thing. There it was. God left it right outside the door of the tent. All they had to do was go and pick it up and take it in the tent, cook it, whatever they did. And a new supply was there for every day. And they had to be diligent. They had to go out. They couldn't lay up stock for a whole week. You know, they couldn't go like we do. You know, let's go up to Myers. Some people go to Costco because you can get the big stuff, you know. And you bring it home. Now you've got $400 in groceries instead of $100 in groceries. And you shove it in the closet. And you fill up your pantry and you stock it all up. And there you have it. But Israel didn't stock it up. In fact, they would only take for one day until it was the day before the Sabbath, and then they would take enough for two, for the Sabbath day. And that's all they could stock up, and it was fresh. And the manna didn't fall into their mouths. It fell to the ground. They had to pick it up and they had to gather it. And they had to gather it every day. But notice they did that as long as they were in the wilderness. And the passage says they had the manna for 40 years. For 40 years. Oh, wouldn't that be great if you didn't have to go all the way up to Costco? You didn't have to go all the way up to the other stores, but you could just go outside, pick up what you needed for the next day, and there it was. Well, that's what God did for them, and it spoke of his inexhaustible supply for his people. An inexhaustible supply. There was never a day that there wasn't any manna for the people. The people of God had the manna that God sovereignly provided for them. And notice it says that it's a test. God is going to test the Hebrews. He's going to test their obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, "In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. It is to teach God's people to depend upon him, to depend upon the Lord." Do we depend upon the Lord? Or do we depend upon our pantry? It's pretty well stocked. Our checkbook, there's enough in it. We've got enough we can buy food for the next month or week and so on and so forth. Do we really depend upon the Lord? Israel had to depend upon the Lord. Will they walk in my law? They were to walk in the law of God. They were to see the glory of God. And that's what God demonstrated. You will see the glory of God. It was his honor, his weightiness, his character, his divine perfection to know that he is the Lord, the God of glory, and to help his people see how glorious he is. God gave them a glimpse. He gave them a glimpse of his glory by his sovereign power, demonstrating that by being present with them in the cloud and by providing for them with giving them manna, so that they might know that God is the Lord. That's what God is teaching Israel. Israel by this time should have come to expect that God does things for his own glory. If we don't learn anything else from the book of Exodus, let's remember that we must learn that we are saved for God's glory. And at every stage of Israel's deliverance, God did what he did to receive all the glory and all the praise, because God does this for his glory. He does that for you. He does that for me. There's glory in the things that God does for you. His ordinary providences every day. His care for you. His love for you. Every one of you, every one of us is taken care of. He spares us from danger. He enables us by grace daily to repent of our sins, to believe his promises. He works in us so that when things are impossible to us, we see his glory as he works out for us the problems that we have and demonstrates his gracious power. We must glorify him. God sent the bread, the manna, to sanctify his people, Israel. Manna had an educational purpose. It was to teach them to depend upon God for all of their needs. Later on, Moses would explain that the manna was not a physical miracle, but its purpose was to teach them the spiritual lesson that God is the source of all of our life. He said, "He humbled you, caused you to hunger, and then fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live," what? "By bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." That should teach us as well that God is the one who supplies our needs, God is the one who provides for us. This should be educational for us. And the word of God as well should be that word that we rest upon, like Jesus did. He quoted this very text, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We shouldn't live like the Hebrews lived. They lived to whine and complain. We find ourselves in difficult situations, but even though we grow anxious and we look back and we're filled with regrets, sometimes we wish things turned out differently, we forget the sovereignty of God, the idea that His plan is being worked out in heaven and on earth. It should bring us to that place of regretting our sin, repenting of it, and we should remember that God will test us, and those trials that come should increase our trust in Him, our dependence upon Him, and our call to live in a godly way, thinking and living for Jesus. Let us remember that God's word is ours so that we might know that grace and that love. Let us go to God and pray that we might serve Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. That's really what that verse is all about from Hebrews, or from Deuteronomy that Jesus quoted. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He has given us His word. Let us rest in its unfathomable truth. Let us rest in the truth of the glory of God, and let us praise Him in all that we do. Amen.